morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are, and welcome to another JavaScript webinar. This episode, we're going to talk about deploying your Angular application to Azure. So looking at the agenda, so first we're going to look a little bit into what is Microsoft Azure. This session again is going to be very low on slides and a lot of demos. Introduction to Microsoft Azure, and then we'll immediately look at what are kind of your options for deploying your AngularJS application into Azure, and which we'll then demonstrate with a number of demos. So you can see here, first we're going to look at virtual machines, and then we're going to look at Azure App Service, and then finally the final demo will be looking at how can we monitor our application while it's running in Azure. So again, as usual, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us using the AskMSDev hashtag on Twitter, and we'll try to get an answer to your question as soon as possible. Now let's start with Microsoft Azure. So introducing Microsoft Azure. So what is Microsoft Azure? So Azure is Microsoft's cloud computing platform. So, cloud computing. Why do we have the cloud? There's basically three large kind of benefits or reasons why you would want to go to the cloud. First one would be first to have your speed of deploying applications, deploying new functionality to your customers. So, either if you look at traditional computing, how quickly can you roll something in production? How quickly can you kind of deploy new functionality into your new application? And using a cloud platform, basically you have resources, computing resources available very quickly in a matter of minutes. You can get, for example, a new virtual machine up and running where you can deploy your application to. Second big reason is not necessarily linked to speed, but also how can you scale your application and your computing resources depending on your load? Whether it's specifically to accommodate peak loads. So you have scenarios where your application is under stress because of a marketing campaign or some other activity. We've had kind of the occurrences with a volcano eruption where a website of travel agencies, of airline companies are really under stress because of this event happening. So when that happens, you want to be able to scale your computing resources, your web farm, up as much as possible to accommodate that load. But on the other hand, if demand is really low, you really want to scale down your resources because you don't want to kind of spend all your money if there's no need for all those resources. So scaling in, scaling down, all of those things are basically one of the features of a cloud computing platform, and being able to do so automatically or manually depending on your needs. And then of course, a bit linked to that scale, scaling down your resources comes economics. It's basically the fact that you can just allocate the resources that you need when you need them can really save you some money. So speed, scale, economics are really the key driving forces for why people would go to a cloud computing platform. Now, having said all this, if we look at Microsoft Azure, so I said Azure is a Microsoft computing platform. It's really having a hyperscale footprint available to you across the globe, with the blue dots signifying Azure regions. And as you can see, there's right now we're up to 28 regions across the globe. And so. So we have these 28 regions across the globe, and as you can see, for example, here in Europe, we have data centers in Ireland and the Netherlands, with new data centers recently announced in Germany. We have some in the Americas, where it's North America, South America, and all across Asia as well. So you can see, no matter where you are, you can allocate the computing resources where you need them, when you need them. So that's really really nice. If you have applications that need to scale across different regions, you can do so as well. So there's technologies and services available in the platform that allow you kind of to balance your load across multiple data center regions if you'd need so. Now, if we look into Azure and the different components, what does Azure provide you? Well, basically, Azure provides you a number of it's built on top of a cloud infrastructure, which gives you kind of the base computing resources, of which kind of the most common one is virtual machines. So everybody knows being able to allocate a virtual machine, deploy your application on it, whether it's for developing or testing, or whether it's for a production workload. You basically know how this works. A virtual machine it behaves as if you would have that virtual machine in your own data center or at a hoster. Other components that are kind of part of that cloud infrastructure, that base cloud infrastructure, is of course networking. Being able to set up virtual networks that potentially span from the cloud into your on-premise environment. So maybe you'll have some components. Let's say you'd have a print server available on-premises in your own data center or your own premises, and you want to link that to a virtual machine that's running in Azure, maybe somewhere in Dublin or in Tokyo. Well, you can create a virtual network that basically creates kind of this hybrid deployment, where you kind of bridge between on-premises and clouds very easily. So they become kind of one logical data center spanning cloud and on-premises, or what we call hybrid. Networking, computing, of course, there's things like storage as well. So these virtual machines are sitting on top of a huge storage network, where you can deploy files on top of which basically your virtual machine hard disks are being hosted. So all of these core components kind of build your cloud infrastructure. We'll see a number of the other components later in this session. But let's now start looking at Azure Virtual Machines. This may come, it came as somewhat of a surprise for some people looking at Microsoft, is that in the Azure platform, we provide basically virtual machines, both for Windows, but just as well for a number of Linux distributions. So we have Linux distros like Ubuntu, SUSE, Oracle, and just recently we added, we had a partnership that we announced with Red Hat. So even the Red Hat Linux we have as well, and you can just create it. It's basically you saw those data center regions, and inside of each of these regions you can basically scale your application, and the number of virtual machines could go from one virtual machine if you need just a simple development server for you. But it can go up to thousands of virtual machine instances. So one such example is, for example, for an online game where we do host the multiplayer sessions. Those are being hosted on thousands of virtual machine instances. Really, it's really an open platform from the operating system perspective, but also from a management perspective. So whether you're using Chef or Puppet, or you're using PowerShell, all of these things go. Basically, we don't make any distinction between if it's a virtual machine running in Azure or it's a virtual machine running somewhere else. So you should be able to use your same technologies and processes that you're used to. Virtual machine sizes, so we can scale them out, whether it's from 1 to 1,000 virtual machines. But just as well, we can scale a machine up or down, giving it more or less resources. Basically giving it either more CPUs. Could be one CPU all the way to 32, 64 CPU machines. But just as well, we can have virtual machines that are optimized for specifically, not necessarily for compute, but maybe for that need extra memory, or which are optimized for network I/O, because you need huge bandwidth for your application. And also just recently announced, if you need specific graphic cards in there. So if you need machines with a GPU, you can allocate them as well. So there's really a lot of options there for allocating virtual machines and sizing them depending on your needs of your application. Now, enough talk. Let's dive into a demo and how we can deploy our application, a sample Angular application, into a virtual machine running in Azure. So first off, what I'll need to show you here is what we call the Azure Management Portal. So how do you get to the Azure Management Portal? It's basically by navigating to portal.azure.com. As you can see here at the top, I'm just using my browser. It's just HTML5, so you could use any browser of your choice. Just navigate to portal.azure.com. And you should be able then to get access to your Azure subscription. Now, where do you get an Azure subscription from? So either you can go for a trial, just go to azure.com. Also later in this in the session, I'll show you what you can do. You can get what we call Visual Studio Dev Essentials, where you get for 1 year free Azure credits for you. So you can try out every single service within Azure, and play with it, and it's for free for a full year. This is kind of a nice offering, and the link is in the deck later on. Now, in this Azure Management Portal, this is really your portal into all of the services that you can see within Azure. Now, on the left hand side, you can already see kind of a list of my favorite services. There's of course a lot more. If you click browse, what you'll see is the whole list of services that are available to you in Azure. And as you can see, it's really a massive list that is available. Yeah, ranging from virtual machines to specific services for IoT data services and so on and so on. So here you can see your favorite services on the left-hand side. Here, this main pane is basically your dashboard into all of your services. You can really customize this dashboard. Add new services, rearrange these tiles as you add new services. If there's for your specific application, you want to see, if it's a web application, the number of HTTP requests or other items. Well, you can add them to your dashboard and really see a live view of your applications while it's running. So this is really a tool for you to customize. Now, we wanted to create a virtual machine, so let's do this. And here on the left-hand side, you can see the new button. If you click there, you'll be presented with kind of the list of services that are available to you. And so, yeah, virtual machines. We can create a virtual machine. So here you can see a number of featured virtual machines. So of course we have the Windows Server virtual machines, but you can see here an Ubuntu server. Those are kind of empty servers or templates that we provide, but you can just as well have virtual machines that contain already an application, like for example Oracle. There's a SharePoint server, and there's a lot more. So we have basically a full marketplace. And if you click see all, we can get a view into all of the different virtual machines that exist. So here you can already see they're kind of grouped. There's a number of recommended ones. There's solution templates. If you want to do like Hadoop, you'll find some in there. Database servers and so on and so on. So a full range of virtual machines that are available to you. Now, for the purpose of this session, what we'll look at is just a mean stack. So we're going to create a Linux box with Mongo on it, and we'll have Angular, all of that already pre-configured. So we'll click the mean template, which is provided by Bitnami, and just click the create, and just click the OK button to create our virtual machine. We have our basic settings, of course. Now, next step we need to provide is the size. So as I mentioned, we have a full range of different virtual machine sizes. Here you see just three recommended ones, where you can see the specs. If you click View All, you'll see the full menu. Of virtual machine sizes, and as you can see, it's really quite a big list of different virtual machines types that you have in there. So they range depending on what you need. You'll have X number of cores available to you. Yeah. So let's just stick with the DS1, and you get an indication of the price per month as well. So let's select the DS1 virtual machine. There we go. We can set some optional features, clicks and wizards. So there's the UI experience, but just as well, you can create virtual machines by going through a command line. So you can automate this as well. So there's a cross-platform command line utility. Just notice there's some issues with. There's some issues with the connectivity dropping from time to time. So I'll try to keep the session going here. So as you can see, we have our virtual machine now submitted for deployment. So in just a few minutes, we should have our Linux machine, our main stack available and up and running. Now, just to speed things up, I have already created a virtual machine here using the same template. Now, how can we get our machine, our application onto this virtual machine in Azure? Yeah, so we have a sample application. So I'm just going to run this application for you. So you can see what we're actually creating. So it's basically so npm run or start. There we go. It's basically a mall app showing you kind of a mall experience where you have the details and overview of the different shops. We can just use FTP. So here I've just navigated to my sources on my local machine, and we can basically just grab our files and copy them over into our remote machine. So that's kind of the easy way to do this. So we've got our files being copied now. So while that is happening, I can actually show you what that would look like. Just for the sake of time, I can navigate to cd:\demol. In the end, you should have all of your files in here. We can just start our application by just doing npm start. So we have our application running. It's running on port 8080 by default. If we then navigate into our browser, I should have the site which was previously not available. Navigating to it, it actually shows up. So this is kind of an experience. It takes some time to kind of go to the browser, go to the portal, and show you how to create it. So it's basically what we call also platform as a service. So platform as a service gives you kind of an experience where you deploy an application rather than just spin up virtual machines, manage those virtual machines, because that comes also with a virtual machine. You need to take care of it. You need to update it, patch it, configure it according to your needs. Platform as a service, or app service in this specific case here, gives you kind of a hosting environment for applications. So you take your application as an application package, you deploy it onto this platform as a service component of Azure, and it will take care of running your application It will do the patching for you. It will do the load balancing for you quite easily. So there's very few management of IT resources. It basically boils down to I manage my application rather than managing IT resources. And so there's a number of specialized services there. App service will look into detail. But there's also services linked to messaging into, like for example, BizTalk services or notification hubs. So if you want to send push notifications to mobile devices, you can use notification hubs. So we have all the infrastructure for sending out push notifications. So there's a whole slew of services. Now, specifically in this case, for hosting web applications, in this case, the AngularJS application that we have just shown you, there's a service which is called the Azure App Service. It's basically a service that gives you kind of componentizing your application logic using these API apps. And basically, Azure App Service gives you this platform to host these application services for you without having to know a lot about virtual machines and IT infrastructure and networking and whatever you need. Now, specifically for web apps, in this case, we have our AngularJS application. Web apps gives you, of course, the web hosting component of it, so you can host your .NET code or Node.js or Java or PHP or Python and some other technologies as well. Just by putting your files in this hosting environment, we'll take care of running it. You can add some background processing, which we call web jobs. It's kind of async processing that runs alongside your web publishing. But what is important here is that when it comes to deploying applications is that we provide native support for continuous integration with GitHub or Bitbucket or just local Git repos, what we'll see in just a minute. So that you can just set up continuous integration where you once you commit your changes into your Git repo, they will automatically get deployed into the Azure web app. And we'll see a demo of that in just a minute. And some other features that you don't have to take care of yourself. For example, load balancing, scaling in, scaling out automatically. All it's going to be the full name, .azurewebsites.net. Provide our resource group. Give it the location again. So we're going to host it in, again, Northern Europe, in my case. And then we just click Create. And that's basically all that's needed for creating our hosting container. So our Azure web app should take just probably a minute or so. Just to speed up things again, I've already created one. So we have a web app already running here. So what you see is in our web app, we have some monitoring information, number of requests that are coming in. Already in Git, on your machine, under a local Git repo, we can tie that one to your Azure web app. Or you could have it in GitHub or Bitbucket, or even Dropbox or OneDrive. Not sure how many people use Dropbox or OneDrive as a source control mechanism, but you know that you can sync it. So what we'll do here is we're going to link it to a local Git repository. So what we'll do is just choose OK. So what we're happening now by just choosing local Git repo is there's going to be a Git repository being created on our Azure web app. You will have your own dedicated kind of remote Git repo sitting here in Azure linked to your app, your web app. And I'll show you where you can find basically our application. Sorry, in your properties, Git remote add, let's call it Azure, and give it the URL that we copied from our Git URL from the Azure portal. Using this here, we have a remote add. And what we can do now is we can do a Git push Azure of our master branch. We just committed our master branch here locally, and we're going to push it to the Azure remote repo. It's going to connect to the repo that's sitting on Azure using those credentials. There you go. While that is happening, we should now see in the Azure portal again. to where the deployment is going. If you click again on deployment source, what you'll notice is that our initial commit is being deployed. You can see our refreshing should now switch it back to our super premium shopping mall experience. So just give it just a second to refresh. There we go. So we have our premium shopping mall now instead of the ultimate one. So this allows you kind of to quickly roll back changes if they went into production rather prematurely. So this is really nice. So additional things that we can that you can add here when deploying is it's nice to have like continuous integration and then deploying into production. But sometimes you don't really want to push it into production straight away. You want to go through, for example, some staging process, or you have some testing environment that you want to deploy to first. For that, we have what is called deployment slots. So deployment slots, very similarly, is that you can create like standalone environments for your website. So you can say add slot, and we could back add, for example, a staging slot. We can clone configuration from an existing one if we would want to copy application settings, for example. Just click OK, and we'll have kind of a standalone environment for our website hosted alongside our production environment. So we have our production website or web app, and we now have a staging web app available to us. We can click on this one. You'll see it's it acts as if it's just a standalone web app, but it's linked to our production web app. And similar to what we did with our production environment, our staging environment that we have a deployment slot. So yes, there's no real edits that we made. Is the capability of being able to swap deployment slots. So here we have our. So I'm looking at the staging slot, which I'm right now in, and there's basically also the production slot. What we can do is we can swap different slots as you go. So let's say we've deployed our new release into our staging environment, and we want to update our production environment. Well, we can swap, for example, our staging environment with the production environment, or the other way around. So you can switch back again as well. So again, similar to rolling back a change in our deployments using our Git repo, we could just as well swap our staging into production, deploying our new versions. If we notice that something is wrong with the new version, we can swap it back and revert back to the previous version. So this deployment slots really give you kind of a safe way to deploy versions of your application, going through some test phases, go through some beta testing, for example, and then swap it into your production environment once you're ready to deploy it, still with swapping back capability if things would still be wrong. Even after testing, you know that something is wrong, you can swap back again. So Azure Web Apps really give you kind of a container for hosting web applications. So the only thing that we needed to take care of is we just have our source code. We put it in the source control by using continuous integration. We can deploy it into a cloud environment, basically without us having to know anything about IT resources, about computing resources. And just to show you here, in terms of scaling our application. So I mentioned that cloud is there for really scaling up and down your resources. You can see here we have scale up, where you can say, give me bigger machines for my website. There it's just a matter of, I just pick N100s. If CPU goes beyond 50%, just add another below 50%, remove an instance. If it goes beyond, let's say, 80%, just add a new instance. So with this, you can automatically scale your instances based on, for example, CPU load on your machines. So this kind of accommodates the scenario where you say, I have some event happening and I have more load on my machine. For example, if you have a ticketing system for rock concerts, for example. For that period where you have a lot of people trying to get tickets for a concert, you'll add instances as like the ticketing sales closes, that would drop off again and you would return back to, for example, a single instance or maybe two instances. So scaling up, scaling down, either manually, automatically, or adding bigger machines or smaller machines, it's just a matter of just configuring here through the portal, or again using some command line utility. So we have that available cross-platform. So this kind of shows you kind of the advantages of something like Azure Web Apps, where you have a hosting environment rather than with a VM. You have a server that you still need to manage yourself. You have kind of fast spinning up of virtual machines, but you still need to manage and maintain them. Okay. Now, in terms of monitoring capabilities that you have here, we provide you a number of tools. Let me just close these settings here. Yes, we want to discard our changes. Save them here. There's a number of tools available to you. So although these kind of managed hosting environment exist, you still want to have some capability of managing your application. So you could do performance monitoring, where you have a view on both client-side and server-side monitoring of your application using what we call application insights. You can just add telemetry to your application. You can have log streaming, where you basically see logs happening on your server being streamed to you straight in the browser, where you can see debugging error messages actually being streamed to you from your browser. And even have a look on what are the processes that are burning on my machine, on my box here in my hosting environment. And alerting as well is quite nice. It's a feature where you basically say, let's say if CPU goes beyond 70%, or you have more than 10,000 requests per second, send me an email, send me an alert, so that I'm aware of it. Maybe I need to do some additional action. Or if some errors occur, send me an alert. And then also for troubleshooting, you can have what we call diagnostics as a service, where again, you can look at log files, you can look at key metrics of your website, whether it's CPU or memory or disk, I/O. All of those metrics are available to you basically through the browser. And one nice kind of feature that we have as well is while you're developing is doing performance testing. This can be tedious, setting up performance test machines. Well, we give you kind of a turnkey, so we can run. So in Azure, going to spin up kind of the IT resources that are needed to do all of this performance testing. Once that completes, you'll get a performance test result, such as one I've run before, where you'll have some performance data. So we have a number of requests. I had 12,000 successful ones, 4,000 etc. failed ones. You could see how the average response time kind of fluctuates versus the user load. So I tested with 20 users. Requests per second, you could see the numbers here as the test is running. So you have kind of a quick and easy dashboarding in terms of how your application performs, what is kind of the response times that you can expect for your application. So comes out of the box here, performance testing your web application. So just going to the performance test. And one final thing here in terms of monitoring, you can even open up a console. So we have a console view into your hosting environment, so you can do an ls-l, for example. Oh, that was too quick. Where you can see what are kind of the files that are sitting here. What I'm hearing is month experience of Azure, all of the services available to you. You also get the free tooling that are available in Visual Studio, some other offers, some free learning resources, all available to you in just a single place. The links is in the next slide. So a few more resources. So Azure, all of the details. We have a huge documentation center with tutorials, how-to guides on azure.microsoft.com. The Azure Management Portal is portal.azure.com. And if you kind of want to just play with app service without already signing up for an Azure trial, you can go to tryappservice.azure.com and you'll have an up to 24 hours web app or mobile app available to you where you can play with. So it's a kind of a playground environment. Just try it out and see if that works for you. You can do the Git-based deployment if you want to. So all of those features are available to you just for playing with the technology. And then finally here the link to Visual Studio Dev Essentials. So sure, go check it out. There's a lot of free stuff in there. So as mentioned, tools, some cloud services, training resources, and so on and so on. So with that, if you want to check out more of our JavaScript webinars, I hope we can get the issues with the network connectivity resolved here. Just go to aka.ms.js webinars. There's one coming up on Angular and TypeScript next week, and there's more. Just check out our Channel 9 page. With that, if there's any further questions during the week or the weeks after, feel free to reach out to us. Twitter, hashtag AskMSDev. So with that, I want to close it off. So we've seen a number of ways to deploy Angular into Azure. So the easiest, the most familiar one is just spin up a VM, whether it's Linux or Windows, and just FTP your sources on there, and just manage your VM as you would do on premises. And secondly, we looked at a more of a platform service, where you can have a more rich experience in terms of app deployment with Git-based deployment, continuous integration, rolling back to previous versions, adding deployment slots, and so on and so on. So with that, I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope to see you in a follow-on webinar.